Good morning. I've got my sermon here, you'll be glad to know. I was walking down the Cromford Canal with the dog the other day and praying as I went and thinking about the sermon this morning, which is all about the image of God found in various places. And it came to me that in creation, God's image is really well displayed, isn't it? When you think about it, the vastness of the universe, the vastness of God, the absolute sort of power of things in the universe, the black holes that crash together, we now know about, apparently, according to the news anyway, and the gravitational fields and things. Amazing power that goes on in the universe, the growing of little flowers and the gentleness of them, the power in volcanoes, the absolute splendor and beauty when you look out on the universe and you look out at the world sometimes. It's amazing how what has been created displays the image of God, don't you think? Anyway, that was just a bit of an image aside, really. And this morning, I was going to look at the image of God using these two readings we've just had as the lens to look at that with. And we're going to look at God's image in Jesus. We're going to look at God's image in ourselves. And we're going to look at God's image in the church. So, how often do you hear it said, you know, things like, isn't he the image of his father? Doesn't she just look like her mother? You're so similar to your dad. That's what Maureen always tells me. Even starting to look like him. You're definitely a chip off the old block, you are. Well, our reading in Colossians says this: the Son is the image of the invisible God. And Jesus said to Philip in the Gospel, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, if you get your head around those two sort of sayings, it sounds a bit like a contradiction. Because how can you see the image of somebody who's invisible? Somebody who doesn't have a physical image, so to speak. Not like you and I, at least, perhaps. So what does it mean to say that Jesus is the image of God who is invisible? And when we read Paul's word image in Colossians, what does it actually mean? Well, it's actually quite difficult to answer that question. But when one of the things that you can find out about the image of God is to go right back to the book of Genesis, right back to the beginning. And there we find in the book of Genesis God creating human beings. And God says, let us make humankind, or if you prefer the old translation, mankind, in our image, in our likeness. So the first people, Adam and Eve, were made in God's image. It's not until Genesis chapter 3 that we start to find out what God's image means in Adam and Eve. And unfortunately, we find out in a negative way. We find out because Adam and Eve lose that image of God in themselves. And God has to distance himself from them because they had trashed the parts of themselves that contains God's image in them. They'd gone their own way, so to speak. They'd thought that they knew what life was about better than the God who'd actually made them. They disobeyed God and believed the lies that Satan put out, and believed Satan that God had lied to them. And they put a barrier between themselves and God. They rejected the people that God made them to be. They rejected God's image in them. They rejected the whole person of God who had shaped them in rejecting his image in them. And so they fell into what we call a state of sin. And that caused a huge distortion of God's image in human beings. Their souls became a bit like a redacted document. Have you ever seen a secret document? I don't know if you ever had the privilege of seeing a secret document that's been redacted. Well, during my employment, which I no longer have, hooray, I had that privilege on occasions to see redacted documents. And what happens is that you get this document that you're allowed to read, but you're not allowed to read it because there's big, thick black lines through all the bits they don't want you to know. Well, that is what these souls of Adam and Eve and the souls of humankind became like. They became redacted. They lost all the bits in them. There was a big black line through all the bits that talked about and spelt out God's image in their souls. Big black line through them. Gone. Unreadable. Not part of you anymore. And so from that time on, human beings ceased to have the likeness of God in them, as God had intended. So when Colossians says Jesus was the image of the invisible God, it's kind of like saying Jesus was everything God intended you and I to be as a human being. He intended Adam and Eve to remain like that. And there was no thick black lines redacting the soul of Jesus. There was nothing there eradicating the image of God in Jesus. It was all there. Unlike us. Because Jesus had God's person bursting out from him. From every part of his being, without any distortion or blockage caused by sin, and without any distance from his Father, Jesus completely embodied the image of God. Jesus was joined, you could say, to his Father seamlessly, whereas we are at a distance because of sin. So John's Gospel tells us this from our reading this morning. Through him, that is Jesus, all things were made. Without him, that is Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. So through Jesus, all things were made. Nothing was made that hasn't been made without Jesus. It's quite a stunning statement, isn't it? Easy to read. Very big to get in your mind. Colossians tells us, for in him, that is Jesus, all things were created. In Jesus, all things were created. Little sentence, huge statement to get in your mind. All things created in Jesus. So Jesus is so much in God's image that when God said, let there be light, Jesus set about making it happen, you could say. That's kind of a wow thing, isn't it, really? To get your mind round how much in God's image Jesus is. Total, complete, full. And we're not only that, but we're told he, that is Jesus, is before all things, and in him, that is Jesus, all things hold together. So, Jesus is before all things, Jesus holds all things together. Small sentence, huge thing to get in your mind, isn't it? How do you get that in your mind and know what that means? Jesus is so much the image of his Father, bursting with the person of God, that it's only because of him that this universe holds together. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. This universe is sustained by Jesus. That's what Colossians and John's Gospel are telling us. So this is all really amazing stuff. But how does it affect all of us on a day-to-day basis? Great thing to have in your mind. Great concept. Amazing reality check about the universe. But how do you get that affecting you on a day-to-day basis? Because God is not and was not content to allow people to reject his image in them. He wasn't really happy about that, as you can imagine. To see his image trashed in people and in the creation that he'd made. And he wants his image in us, in creation, he wants it restored. And that's why Jesus came, to restore God's image in us and in the world, in the universe. Through Jesus, God could reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. God wants us back in his image. He wants us back without our lives marred and distorted by sin. God was and is so keen on getting us back that his whole fullness dwells in Jesus now and dwelt in Jesus as he hung on the cross. Both God and man. Filled with the image of God in Jesus. John tells us, to those who believed in his name, that is Jesus, he gave the right to become the children of God, born of God. God wants his image restored in us, and that process starts with our new birth as Christians. That's when God's image starts to be restored in us, when we're born again as new Christians, born from above, born anew, however you want to translate that phrase. There we start as babies in the kingdom, babies in Jesus. And we go on to grow and mature more and more into the likeness of Christ as we journey with him through our lives. The image of God is growing in us from that time on, day by day, on our journey through life. Isn't that amazing? That God is restoring his image in you and I from the time that we give our lives to Jesus and are reborn. We're on that journey of restoration of his image growing in us again. Isn't that fantastic? Colossians tells us from our reading Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. So not only does God want his image restored in us as individuals, God wants to see his image bursting forth from the body of the church. In us, as we're gathered together, he wants to see his image bursting out. But also as we go about our daily lives and we're separate, we're no less the church. We're still joined in Christ, regardless of whether you're over there and I'm in Nottingham. Doesn't matter. We are the church, still joined together. Whether apart or bound together here, we are together in Jesus as his body and called to burst forth with his image throughout each day. Colossians tells us that Jesus has made peace through his blood shed on the cross. He's made peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus has made peace between us and God, between our redacted souls and God's image. And this peace of Jesus is part of God's image. That reconciling is part of God's image in us, that he wants to see in us. An active and reconciling peace. A peace that shows forth the image of God in the church and in us as individuals. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. We are called to reconcile ourselves and others to God. We are called each day to grow more into the image of God our Father, as each day fills us more and empowers us more through that image and through the Holy Spirit that God puts in our lives. We are called to live in that peace and reconciliation that God has restored in us through his work on the cross and through the resurrection. But all this means work on our part as well. It's not just all done by God. There's a call on us from God to be in relationship with him. So that distance that was put there as his image was trashed, that distance has to be brought back in closer and closer and closer. We need to get back into relationship with God as closely as we can. Just like when God walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day and Adam and Eve had complete access to him. That is what God wants from us to him. Now, as his image is restored in us. So work on our part, reading and digesting God's word in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Make sure you read it. Make sure that you not only read it, but digest it. Let it go into your soul. Let it become part of you. Welded to your soul. Because all those redacted little bits out of your soul's code are in the Word of God, and they need to be written back in. And you only find them if you start talking and listening to God and reading his word. And then it will go in. And the Holy Spirit will put it in there. Praying regularly. We must pray. We must talk to God. You can't have a relationship with him if you don't talk to him. If you don't ask him things. If you don't praise him. If you don't thank him. If you don't relate to him like you would to a normal person who stood in front of you. We must walk in the Holy Spirit throughout the day. So as Paul said, walk in the Spirit. Thinking, speaking, and acting as Jesus would and inspires us to do with his image in us and bursting out of us. That's how we must be. So God has planted this great, amazing seed of new life in us, in our inner beings, in the depths of our soul. And God longs to see his image restored and grow to maturity in us, as in Christ. And my prayer for us this morning is that the image of God should grow and mature in us second by second, minute by minute, and day by day. Amen.